You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 25th, 2022. I remind you, we are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com and the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA. That'll take you right to our page. You'll see other postings. You'll also see where you push a button and join us live in studio. And if you join us, glad to have you. If you can't, always go back later and pull up any Rumble cast you want. And, of course, all the audio casts are posted at LarryConnorsUSA.com. I'll remind you again, you can subscribe to each and we'll send them to you. You won't miss a single thing. We'll send them to you in your email. We do not share your information. Absolutely free. You can have them. Well, you remember during the height of COVID, and we continued to have illegals coming across the border, and we knew they were not being properly treated and checked for any diseases and possible COVID they might be carrying. And finally, it was admitted, no, we haven't really been doing it effectively, fully. And yet at the same time, it's okay. And we weren't, of course, vetting either for security. But now, border crossers and illegal aliens will be offered a free flu vaccine. This is part of Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security initiative to help illegals entering our country. So for the first time in American history, border crossers and illegals will be offered free flu vaccines when they arrive. The Biden administration started this initiative a month ago and apparently has already given it to thousands of border crossers, just now making it public. You're just going to have to continue to be dealing with the government that tells you what to do on a constant basis. These folks coming in don't know if they're being told if you're not going to be allowed to come in unless you get the vaccine. That would be interesting. I haven't seen any word on that yet. By the way, there are reports that from the American Medical Journal, JAMA, anyone experiencing side effects to the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines, such as fever, chills, muscle pain, according to this research, you now have a greater antibody response following the vaccinations. That's what they're saying. So in conclusion, according to the Columbia University in New York that wrote this paper, along with University of Vermont and Boston University, these findings support that reframing post-vaccination symptoms as signals of vaccine effectiveness and reinforce guidelines to give boosters to older adults. It's another way of saying you will want that booster, won't you? Ukraine military claiming that Russian forces preparing for a potential retreat from a key river as the Moscow-installed leaders in that southern region step up the evacuation efforts. Kyiv's advancing counteroffensive part of it. But then again, you have to ask, are they pulling out their forces because Russia has warned that Ukraine might be using at some point a so-called dirty bomb, a nuclear weapon that would scatter radioactivity around a particular area? And while Ukraine says, we're not planning on doing that, is this the Russians giving us a heads up that they're going to do it? And if they're drawing troops out of a particular area, does that mean that they're getting their troops out of the way? That's worth watching as we continue to see what happens. Well, in an interview with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, and she assures you that you should know that she is confident inflation will come down over the next year or two. She said there's still good indications that inflation will decline, but she also admits, I'm not sure it has peaked yet, but I have confidence it will come down within the next year or two. Well, where will you be in the next year or two? I will point out to you, the next year or two, you'll be moving right into the 2024 presidential campaign, won't you? Which brings me to this notice. Billionaires Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer, both of them, of course, have run for president in the past. Steyer, of course, running as a climate activist. they have together contributed something like $100 million ahead of the midterm election, November 8th. They're both trying to make sure that Democrats hold whatever they have and maybe gain a few seats. $100 million between the two of them. Well, in the meantime, we've got Hillary Clinton saying that we're not going to see the 2024 election go unchallenged by Republicans, that they're already trying to steal it. We're going to get into that in more detail. In other words, is Hillary Clinton an election denier? Stand by, please.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I know we're all focused on the 2022 midterm elections, and they are incredibly important. But we also have to look ahead, because you know what? Our opponents certainly are. Right-wing extremists already have a plan to literally steal the next presidential election. And they're not making a secret of it. The right-wing-controlled Supreme Court may be poised to rule on giving state legislatures, yes, you heard me that correctly, state legislatures the power to overturn presidential elections.
Yeah. That is Hillary Clinton, the original election denier that's been denied that she denied. She learned well from Bill when he was accused of having sex with that woman. I did not have. He stuck by deny all the way. And Hillary Clinton is yet to acknowledge that she lost her election to Trump, that it was stolen. But, of course, the left does not want to deal with that aspect. They want to talk about how Trump is wrong to question and challenge the election against Biden. What you're listening to then is Hillary Clinton in a campaign ad to raise money for a group called Indivisible Guide. Indivisible Guide under the hashtag Crush the Coup. Remember, they're calling January 6th. It was a coup attempt, right, to overthrow the government. It was not. It was wrong. It was a riot in the Capitol. Should not have happened. But it was not an attempt to crush the government and carry out a coup. If you're going to do that, you got to have the military with you to be effective. But here she said, right-wing extremists already have a plan to literally steal the next presidential election, and they're not making a secret of it. And she talks about the right-wing-controlled Supreme Court. Well, first of all, I don't know where she's even coming up with that, that they're preparing to make a ruling that would give states the authority to reject a decision made in their state by their voters. I know there might be hidden inside there some, that some are believing that how we are selecting electors for the Electoral College needs to be reviewed in each state. But I don't know of any particular case right now that actually has any footing in going into the Supreme Court. So it's just a, it's a scare tactic. It's simply a scare tactic. And I do not want the Supreme Court simply giving states the right to change votes inside their state. But there are some caveats within that. Don't have time to get into all of it right now. What I really want to point out to you that here is the woman who claims that she won her election. It was stolen from her, and yet she has led the crusade against Trump and anybody supporting him, that if you question that election, you're not only a denier, you're an idiot. We're going to break that down in more detail for a moment. So while she is at this time saying, focus on the midterm, that's important, but you got to keep your eye open for 2024 because the steal is coming. In other words, the steal sign is out, just like a runner at the base waiting for the coach to give him that sign. Steal when you can. Hillary Clinton.
The 2024 presidential election could be decided not by the popular vote or even by the anachronistic Electoral College, but by state legislatures, many of them Republican-controlled. But there's also good news in the face of this very real threat to democracy. Indivisible has launched Crush the Coup to make sure we're ready to defend democracy in 2024. They've put together a list of critical races in six key states and how you can get involved.
And then she follows up with how and where to donate your money. I'm not giving them that opportunity on this program. I've already told you what the group is. If you have an interest in it, you can check it out, Indivisible Guide, and you can go to their hashtag Crush the Coup, and you decide if you want to support it or not and learn more about it. But I'm not going to allow her to use my airtime, this program, to promote money for something like this when I hear her constantly talk about it's wrong for anybody that's a conservative to question an election, which he's doing on a constant basis and has done since the beginning. We have many, of course, in the state-controlled media that will rapidly rush forward and agree that, yeah, we need to get ready for 2024. And therein lies an issue we need to be concerned about, and that is big tech, how the role it played in this last election, when it purposely throttled back information about the Hunter Biden laptop, knowing if that got released just before the election, it could damage Joe Biden's chances to get elected. Now, that's all speculation as well. It may or may not have. Odds are it certainly was going to be a big bombshell dropped right before the election, just as Hillary claims that James Comey sent her election into a tailspin as he came out shortly before that her election and said, well, we have found some emails we need to verify because I came to Congress, told you we checked all of them, and now we found some that we haven't. Then later he came back and said, well, we checked them and we had actually seen them. They were duplicates. But she said the damage is already done. And she blames James Comey also helping Trump steal the election. That guy's been getting it from both sides. And probably rightly so. But as far as this current concern about 2024, that the Supreme Court may decide to allow the state legislatures to decide presidential elections, and she said that they would decide it would not be the popular vote, which, remember, she did win, if you believe all the votes were legal. She had more popular vote than Trump, so that's why they were sure that she won. But it was that, as she called it, the anachronistic electoral college, dated, historic. We need to get rid of it. Remember she said that? We need to get rid of the electoral college. That is how our elections have been decided and set up by our Constitution. And she was calling then to get rid of it. Why? Well, because she lost. But going into the election, on election night, all of the state-controlled media were showing the big blue wall. Trump might have made some gains here, might have made some gains here, but he cannot break down, he cannot go over the big blue wall. They were talking about the Electoral College votes. Well, he did. That's exactly what he did. And when it came time for Congress to certify the Electoral College results, the Democrats challenged it just as hard as Republicans did this time around with Trump. But, of course, you didn't hear a lot about it. And there was no riot at the Capitol. That's true. But that doesn't mean that they weren't challenging the election. It's part of their right to do so. I'm not denying them that right. But, unfortunately, it doesn't play both ways. As I said in the opening monologue, the hypocrisy of this slaps you in the face every time we bring it up. So Senator Ted Cruz dared to go on the ABC The View. I don't know if you watched that program. I have never watched it. I look at clips of it because, well, I have to do that for you. And believe me, I'm suffering all the time when I do it. But I do it for you. So Ted Cruz suffered even more. He went on there and dealt with issues about elections with The View. And he was talking about election deniers and talking about how, while they're all claiming that any forces supporting Trump or other Republicans, their claims there were the election wasn't right, they're deniers and they're wrong, Cruz gave this response.
The election was fair and square and legitimate. You know who y'all don't do that to? You don't do it to Hillary Clinton, who stood up and said, Trump stole the election.
They didn't storm the Capitol. They didn't try to kill my former
boss. Stacey Abrams, who said that the election was stolen. They sat here and said it was illegitimate,
and
you guys were fine with it. Okay, so it's illegitimate when Republicans win, but not when Democrats win.
No, you know, here's the thing. We may not like when Republicans win, but we don't go and we don't storm. We don't try to change. But we'll go there.
Did I miss an entire year of Antifa riots where cities across this country were burning and police cars were being firebombed? Your position is the left doesn't engage in violence? Really?
Really? Now, did you hear how Whoopi was yelling at him and the others are all yelling over each other? I want you to keep that in mind for a very important reason coming up shortly. But there's Whoopi Goldberg. I don't even know what Antifa is. Really? And then, as Cruz said, you're trying to say that the left does not engage in violence, and he was right. We had 500-plus riots in our streets that summer, 500-plus attacking police, in some cases National Guard troops, firebombing businesses, looting as well, and also attacking federal buildings, remember? And there were deaths. There was only one death, and that's bad enough, on January 6th at the Capitol that was attributed to being killed. The others were either by heart ailments or, in a couple of cases, suicide, apparently involving a couple of the Capitol guards after the event was over. That's still a nasty scar on our country's history. And I told you that day, it would be used over and over and over again by the left. That's why they continue to push January 6 hearings, even though they actually have concluded with a subpoena for Trump, and that's still weighing in the wind, and they're just going to keep floating it around forever and ever, just like they did Russian collusion and so forth. But you heard Whoopi trying to say, I don't even know what Antifa is. She knows what Antifa is. But again, when Cruz is trying to make the point, which he made, Whoopi continued her response.
Hillary Clinton didn't say whatever she didn't say. I'm saying to you, listen.
And she said it's sitting here, and you were fine with her saying it was illegitimate
for
Republicans to win.
She called Donald Trump the next morning, and she conceded the election, Ted.
Okay.
Took the call.
Stacey Abrams.
All right.
She sat there while Donald Trump
Hillary
was getting
Clinton
sworn
says
in.
Trump is an illegitimate
two
president. Hillary Clinton
right.
says the election is stolen from you. Hillary Clinton in 2002, George W. Bush was selected, not elected. Joe Biden, Al Gore was elected president. So Joe Biden claims George W. Bush was illegitimate.
Right?
Those are papers Cruz is reading off of, documents. And quotes he pulled right out of his pocket. Hillary Clinton says Trump is an illegitimate president. She has said that. Yes, she did call Trump in the early morning hours and concede the election. But then she wouldn't go talk to her supporters. And from that point on, she was claiming it was stolen. And he continued reading off others. Hillary Clinton in 2002, George W. Bush was selected, not elected. Joe Biden saying Al Gore was elected president. And so it went. He was reading back the denial statements on the left to members of the left, but they don't get it. You know why they don't get it? Because they don't want to hear it. They are doing the same thing. They deny, deny, deny. It doesn't exist. Now, when Cruz was trying to make those points, as you could hear, the ladies of The View get very loud, and they shout at each other, as you heard Whoopi. So Cruz is trying to make his point, and so he's got to raise his volume. And here comes someone trying to be civil, Ana Navarro, who was a Republican and serves on The View as a, quote, I don't know, token Republican. She's all liberal all the way. Ana Navarro.
And Hillary Clinton says the election is stolen from you. Hillary Clinton in 2002, George W. Bush was selected, not elected. Joe Biden, Al Gore was elected president. So Joe Biden...
Yeah.
Claims
you just
George
said we
w.
don't
Bush
scream at each other, right? Or is it just you that gets to scream?
Okay, no, I agree.
Okay, then lower your voice because we are very close.
Yeah, lower your voice. We're very close together. I've never seen her say that to any of her ladies on The View when they're all yelling and screaming and trying to out-top each other. But Cruz, lower your voice. All right, coming up, I want to give you a clip from the DeSantis-Chris debate last night. Specifically on abortion. Stand by.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, we know that these are the effects of the Biden-Crist policies, the worst inflation in 40 years, and Charlie Crist votes with Biden 100% of the time.
You're running for governor. Why don't you look in the eyes of the people of the state of Florida and say to them, if you're reelected, you will serve a full four-year term as governor. Yes or no?
The only worn-out old donkey I'm looking to put out to pasture is Charlie Crist. Charlie Crist has not only supported abortion up until the moment of birth, he even voted against the Infant Born Alive Act.
I don't want to ban abortion. I want to make sure we keep a woman's right to choose available to the women of the state of Florida.
Well, that was a pretty good little clip from the one and only debate taking place in Florida in the governor's race between incumbent Ron DeSantis and his challenger, Charlie Crist. Crist, a former governor himself, former congressman from Florida. You heard... Chris trying to make a point about, why don't you tell your people, why don't you look at them and say you're not really going to serve a full four-year term as governor? Is that the best you got? Seriously, Charlie? Is that the best you got to say that, you know, DeSantis may decide in 2 years that he might want to run for the White House? As if Chris never entertained such ideas when he was Florida governor? What he will or will not do has nothing to do with where they are right now and who the people select to lead that state going forward. But that, I guess, was one of the big guns that he thought he could bring out and say, see, he won't tell you if he will stay here as governor. Well, let me put it to you this way. If DeSantis runs, it's still going to be a Republican leadership that replaces him. And that is what has made Florida as strong as it is right now. Not blue city politics. And DeSantis knows that, and so does Charlie Crist. In fact, I'm looking at how CNN wrote about this debate last night. I'm going to read to you for one part of it. It says, down in the polls and nearly out of campaign money, Chris entered the Sunrise Theater in Fort Pierce, Florida, with, quote, almost nothing left to lose. And he repeatedly put DeSantis on the defensive over the divisive agenda that's catapulted the Republican into GOP stardom. Really? He put DeSantis on the defensive? I don't get DeSantis was ever on the defensive. But, of course, that's a perspective, and that's the CNN perspective. It continues that Chris' objective Monday was twofold: build momentum for the final 2 weeks of the Florida race and bruise the national reputation of DeSantis, who is also weighing a potential presidential primary campaign against former President Donald Trump as he seeks re-election as governor. So there you have it. They're all pushing, this is a reason you shouldn't vote for Chris. I mean, for DeSantis. You shouldn't vote for DeSantis because he might end up running for president. That's a pretty weak argument. Would you not agree? And when it came to abortion, you heard Chris say, well, I'm not against abortion totally. I just am interested in protecting women. And he said, I'm not necessarily for all abortions. I just want to protect women. And he says, and you, DeSantis, you don't care about the women. Use the same argument when it came to transgender surgery for teenagers. And the CNN write-up of it said, in headline, DeSantis ducks on abortion. There was no ducking. If you heard the first hour, I ran a lengthy clip of what DeSantis had to say about abortion. And he said, I think we're better when everybody counts. I understand not everyone's going to be born in perfect circumstances, but I'd like to see everyone have a shot. But, of course, the Democrat review is that DeSantis' approach on abortion is callous, barbaric. That's because the state's new 15-week ban includes exemptions for a fatal fetal abnormality if two physicians confirm the diagnosis in writing, or when a pregnancy is a serious risk to the mother, and it does not allow exemptions for rape, incest, or human trafficking. That's something for them to decide in the state of Florida. That's the whole point when the Supreme Court said Roe v. Wade is not law of the land. It is not constitutional. It is not in the Constitution. That state will decide how it wants to deal with abortion. Coming up, what do you think about making any future police officer dare that they want to be a police officer? They have to do a purity test. What is a purity test? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Governor Newsom of California has signed a bill that bars any Californians who have previously been members of a, quote, hate group from ever serving as police officers, or at least if they've done so in the last 7 years. Now, two things. Still not clear when that goes into effect. Secondly, what is a hate group? Would it be a hate group if you are Christian? Would it be a hate group if you are a BLM member at some point in your life? What is a hate group? Well, breaking it down and trying to get a better understanding on that is Tyler O'Neill joining us, head with the Heritage Foundation, also managing editor at Daily Signal, formerly of Fox News. Tyler, glad to have you on board, sir.
Glad to be here, Larry.
So help me understand this. He signed this into law. And first of all, when they are trying to, as you say, create a new ideological purity test, it looks to me like they're trying to make sure that no conservatives become a police officer. Who's going to serve as a police officer?
That is an excellent question. So it remains unclear exactly how these bills are going, these laws are going to be put into effect. But what we do know is that the law against bias, saying that applicants must be screened for bias before they can join a police force, that's AB 2229 for those keeping score. This bias requirement, which had previously been enacted for about a year before it was mistakenly removed, it remains unclear exactly how broad it is, and it seems like it'll be implemented differently on different levels. But the thing that really stood out to me was AB 655, which, as you noted, bars Californians who had previously been members of a hate group or those involved in hate group activity. Now, I did a deep dive into this, and I realized that the language that the bill uses actually is rather good. They define a hate group as an organization that supports, advocates for, threatens, or practices genocide or the commission of hate crimes. Now, of course, hate crimes, that's an interesting debate that we should get into later. But genocide, they have very specifically defined as a list of acts with specific intent to destroy in whole or substantially in part a national, ethnic, religious, racial group through means including killing, causing serious bodily injury, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the real scary thing about this bill, though, is there are two aspects. One of them is originally when the bill was first drafted, they defined a hate group as any group that also supports, advocates for, or practices the denial of constitutional rights of a class of people. And of course, any conservative should immediately know, you know, this is California. This definition could easily be twisted to apply to any pro-life organizations seeking to outlaw abortion or seeking to have any sort of limit on abortion. So that's a tremendous red flag, and that was in the original version of the bill. Also in the current version of the law, however, is this provision about complaints, that public complaints filed against police officers or those who are applying to be police officers have to be considered by the police department. And so what this means is that if some, you know, enterprising leftist in California sees that a police officer had gone to an Alliance Defending Freedom event or spoken at a Family Research Council event or, you know, God forbid, had any activity with Act for America or, in the specific case of California, the Pacific Justice Institute, any sort of connection there, they could easily file a complaint citing the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has branded all these, you know, mainstream conservative and Christian organizations as hate groups.
That is a very
putting them
big
on
point.
A list.
That is a very big point. That you're right. The Southern Poverty Law Center has branded all that. And when you started talking about the complaint, well, I was thinking, well, obviously, if an officer has abused the authority and so forth, but you're not talking about while in uniform or doing anything to a citizen. You're talking about just because they attend according to Southern Poverty Law Center, if they go to mainstream conservative or Christian organization, they're all on the same list as the KKK. Now, granted, we want police officers that are going to be of upstanding character, period, regardless of their past history or anything else. And of course, if they have a felonious act behind them, well, then they cannot serve either. But it's tough enough getting any man or woman to put a badge on and walk around and become an automatic target nowadays. And now they want to say we're not going to allow anybody that might have possibly been aligned with either a political affiliation we don't like or a church we don't like. They're going to enforce that?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what's so chilling about this. And it was interesting to me, you know, Gavin Newsom signed these bills in a laundry list of other legislation that he signed. But I reached out to his office and the Attorney General's office multiple times for clarification about their intent with these laws, for how the laws will be enforced, and got crickets. And they told me, oh, yeah, reach out to the bill's sponsors. But, of course, the bill's sponsors didn't get back to me. And they're just not commenting on the concerns that have been, voiced here. And, as you noted, California is in the throes of a public safety crisis. And that's Matt McReynolds, who is a senior staff attorney at the Pacific Justice Institute, which the Southern Poverty Law Center brands an anti-LGBT hate group. he noted that the level of politically fueled disrespect for law enforcement has never been higher, and these laws are only going to exacerbate the crisis by exposing all but the most ideologically pure officers to discipline, dismissal, or rejection for supposed bias.
You point out that he said in California, cancel culture is coming for our cops. And you also quote Daniel Greenfield of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, that he said, this is a blank check for viewpoint discrimination. In other words, It's going to be politically decided, not actually based on hate, but political differences.
Well, and that's the thing about AB 2229 is it's got this very vague requirement that these officers be screened for bias, and no definition of what the bias means, and no protections for, if a conservative Christian goes into a psychologist for a bias screening and the psychologist says, what's your opinion on homosexual activity? And the Christian says, I believe that it's sinful, but I treat all gay people with respect and, love and charity as Christians are commanded to do, then the psychologist may very easily say, oh, no, he clearly has bias against LGBT people. He must be excluded from the police force. And I think that's a very serious concern.
Well, let me turn that around. What if a member of the LGBT community becomes a police officer, which there are members of that? Are they biased against those who are not LGBTQ? Is there not a bias there that should be examined?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think, I'd rather they didn't require this bias.
Either way, I agree. Either way.
But I think, LGBT people should be police officers. Conservative Christians should be police officers. Like anybody who cares about public safety and is willing to put their neck on the line to enforce the law, like these people deserve our utmost respect. And, we're having in California these laws that are going to shrink the pool. And this really stood out to me because I've been following the Southern Poverty Law Center for years, and I actually wrote a book called Making Hate Pay, explaining why the Southern Poverty Law Center should not be considered a reliable arbiter of hate in the United States of America. And it's, list after list of these conservative groups. But one of them, the Family Research Council, they had a deranged man come into their building with a semi-automatic pistol and a bag of Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches, intending to shoot everyone in the building and smear a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich in their faces. And the Southern Poverty Law Center condemned the attack, of course, but they have continued to keep FRC on the list of hate groups and on the map that this guy used to target them ever since. So that was more than 10 years ago.
10 years and still there. Tyler O'Neill, I want to thank you for your enlightenment for us on understanding what's happening. Something else in California that is out of whack, but it's existing. I thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thanks so much, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. Tyler O'Neill, managing editor of the Daily Signal. Speaking of shootings, St. Louis region is still dealing with a school shooting that took place yesterday. I want to get into that, primarily focusing on the officers and what they did. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
jumping and the jump again to swing. You should have heard them locked out jailbirds sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody in old jailbox. Put down the door to jail.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As you well know, back in May of this year, we had a mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. A 16-year-old gunman, a former student, shot, I should say 18-year-old, shot 19 students, two teachers, wounded 17 others. We've had way too many, one is way too many, of these school shootings, but it's not a reason to suddenly cry out again for more gun control, because it's how the gun is used. Same thing if they took a car and drove it into a high school parade. But I don't want to get into that argument right now. What I want to focus on, one of the most recent incidents happening in St. Louis City at a school, and a teacher was killed and a student. The 19-year-old gunman who killed them was also shot dead by police. Now, I want to get to that in a moment, but I'm not going to give you the name of that shooter. I will never give you the name of a shooter unless I absolutely have to, or that it's paramount to the story. In this case, it's just another deranged shooter who had no business having a weapon, and we still don't know exactly how or why he got them, in what way, I should say. He had attended the same school, the Central Visual and Performing Arts High School, last year. Those killed included, as I said, a teacher, and according to those who knew her, she had planned to retire soon, 61 years of age. She had done numerous things with her education before she got there, but she was always, according to one who spoke about her, that she was always there and available to help with the kids if they needed it. And then the other was a 16-year-old student at the school who also had a future ahead of her. Originally today, as I began the cast, I did not have all details of the latest in front of me because I'd been working on other material. They now have confirmed that the shooter had an AR-15-style rifle. I was not sure of that. They kept calling it a long gun even earlier this morning, and finally they've identified there was an AR-15, 600 rounds of ammo. He had left a note in his car saying, "I don't have any friends, I don't have any family." And for that, he decides to wipe out others. Now, here's the key I want to get to. And I need to point out again, I'm calling the young girl who was shot 16. She was not yet 16. Her father had been planning her sweet 16th birthday party. That's such a great occasion, especially if you have a daughter. And now he says, "I'll have to plan a funeral." Your heart breaks for them. I hope you have every member of that school, whether they have lost someone or were injured, they're all traumatized by it. I hope you pray for them and those responders. So the shooter, when he went in, the first shooting report came apparently at 9:10. If you recall in the Uvalde shooting, when police arrived, they did not immediately go inside the building, which is standard protocol ever since Columbine. When you got a shooter inside, you don't know how many are being killed or who might be killed if you don't get in and put a stop to it right then. The Department of Public Safety in Texas just fired a highway patrol sergeant, and a highway patrol captain might also be on the firing board because of how they handled their part. Now, but apparently it was not just what we originally told about Uvalde, but a lot of confusion. In some cases, officers were told, they say they were told, well, someone's inside, the reason the shooting stopped, someone's inside negotiating with them, and we're told to stand down until maybe he could talk them out of it. But that wasn't what was happening. And even though they will say that no one additionally was shot, no additional shots fired, you don't know how many were wounded that were bleeding out. If he'd gotten to them in time, you might have saved them. That we will never know. We know from some of the survivors of Uvalde, a couple of the young students, elementary kids, saying, "I took a blood from a friend, put it on my face, and lay down like I'd been shot." Can you imagine doing that? Taking blood from a friend, putting it on your face? So they will think you've been shot and dead and not do anything else? But in the case in St. Louis yesterday, several officers were nearby at a funeral for a colleague, and they heard the call go out, and they wasted no time from the call first reporting it at 9:10, police arriving just minutes later. They apparently engaged the student almost immediately as they got into the building. They were there within 4 to 5 minutes or less. There were security guards at the building, but not all of them were armed. If any, I don't know. But the bottom line is it took good guys with a gun to put a bad guy with a gun down and save lives. That's the lesson. And the lesson that these police officers were running in not knowing what they were facing. They were there to save lives, even if putting theirs at risk. No officer was even wounded. And if they had not arrived as quickly as they did and put the gunman down, instead of 2 dead and 4 to 6 injured, it could have been hellacious. Praise to those officers for taking their job and their courage and putting it on the line and themselves. That is law and order, and we thank them. Thank them any time and every time you see an officer. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.